Hello, everyone. My name is Gina. I'm a sex and love addict.
Gina.
My sobriety date in this program is April 1st of 2020. But I've been active in this fellowship since like 2017. Took me a while to get sobriety. I would get like chunks of sobriety and then I would break a bottom line and I would start my time over. And, you know, my, for anyone, first of all, welcome to all the new people. If you're new, or if you're, coming back, like, I'm like overwhelmed with like the bravery that it takes to walk into this room. I feel like when I came in, I had already been in another fellowship and sort of already had like a safety net to walk in here, but like, just know that like, it really is really brave that you are here today and willing to admit that you need help. And I'm just so glad you made it here and I hope you get to stay. I'm a crier, so I'll probably just keep crying in and out of this chair. I forgot what I was saying before. For anyone who's new, like a bottom line is sort of like a behavior that you try and abstain from with the help of a higher power one day at a time. So for some people that looks like masturbation. For some people that looks like not giving your phone number out at work when you're working as a waitress in a diner. Sometimes it looks like no contact with a very specific person. We call that person a qualifier. I've got a few of those. And it was hard. It was really hard to get sober in this program because sex and love addiction and fantasy and intrigue were my strategies for life. It was what I learned very early on that was going to work. And it worked for me for a really long time. And it was hard. In the book that we have, it talks about, like, even in the big book too, like a personality shift. Like, I had to really like pour that cup out and just be like, I don't know who I am. Like, I don't know who I am without being this sex and love addicted person. And I did that and it was really painful. Another thing we talk about here is withdrawal, like as if you're withdrawing from drugs. It's like a visceral, somatic, physical experience for some people to abstain from acting out on those behaviors and to sit with the pain that comes up. It's really hard. But if I can do it, you guys can do it. And there's support here. And like, also kudos for everyone for showing up in person. That's so hard. The only reason why I'm here is because someone asked me to speak. And I learned really early on that if someone asked me to speak, like, I show up. But usually I'm on Zoom meetings because time, you know, in life, and my life has gone really big. And it's really easy to just be like, I'm going to listen to that Zoom meeting on my way to school and not open my mouth, you know. But, like, I need to be here really badly today in person. So thank you all for being here. I got sober in this program one day at a time. Took me about 3 years. And that was a lot of different things. Like, for sometimes my, even though I didn't really feel like masturbation was like part of my addictiveness, like it was something that a sponsor suggested. And that was really hard. Like, I would get like 60 days and then I would break it and then I would have to start over. And that was surprising to me, you know, because I feel like sometimes it's kind of like, oh, well, that's a man thing and this is a woman thing. And I'm more of a, you know, romance addict, but it's really all of the things. And I learned how to sober date in this program, which was really, really foreign to me and also really difficult. And to be honest, I like sort of didn't have to do that much of it because I met somebody. We sober dated, and that was like probably after about 3 years in program, and we were together for 4 years, and then we got married. So I've sober dated and gotten married through, like, in this program. My partner is not in this program. He's not in any full set programs. And thank you. And that was just the beginning of a whole other freaking like SLAA journey to be intimate with somebody and to really learn how to do that. Those questions, by the way, I don't know if I've heard those, but those are fire. Like, I need to reread them. And I was trying to go through and see which ones I'm like, okay, like, you know, I feel like I have a decent amount where I'm farther away from, but it's so validating to hear that my experiences are relatable, that other people have them, and that you can literally like put them in black and white and be like, these are like the symptoms of this experience. So I kind of thought like I was kind of like the poster child of SLAA, like, you can get sober and you can find someone and you can get married and like you got the thing, you know, that everyone wants. And in a lot of ways I feel like that is true. And also I continue to have to work through so much to stay in my marriage and to be like a sane person and to learn how to live life side by side with somebody. That's what I'm saying. I definitely always picked people that were not gonna show up and be available to me and give me what I wanted, because who knows, childhood trauma, lots of stuff, you know, attachment things. And SLAA, I think, really taught me how to, you through the sober dating process, to let people weed themselves out, honestly, you know. And then when someone stays, it's like, wow, this person keeps showing up and they want to be with me and they want to marry me, you know, like, that's crazy. And life just keeps going. My dad died like 2 years ago, and that was crazy. I feel like, literally, this is weird, but like my life kind of like shifted timelines. Like, I was like, oh, like now I'm in this timeline. Maybe that's just trauma. But the reason I'm sharing this is because I felt like my partner had really been emotionally available. He's securely attached. You know, like, I kind of, like it says, made this magical quality about my husband, and he is very magical. But I just thought, like, I've got the good person and I did the thing and like everything is going to be okay now. And to be honest with you, as emotionally available as my husband is, like, there's times when like life really gets crazy, like when your dad dies, and he could show up for me in a lot of ways. He could, you know, pay for the funeral. He could call the funeral home. He could make the program. But everyone has their own emotional stuff that they're going through. And I notice all the time when things are really hard for my husband to show up emotionally. He still has a lot of avoidance. And I'm currently working on not taking my husband's inventory, which is also a really difficult practice to do. But I share that because when I think about being in relationship to my husband, there's like this balance of like, co-regulating. Yes, I found this person that can help me like regulate my emotions in real time, but also like work through things in life. And also there's times where like he's just not gonna be able to do it, you know, like we're human beings, we're not always gonna 100% be able to like be available for people. And I'm so glad that I have the foundation I do. I have a sponsor in this program. I'm working the steps again. I'm like in between 4 and 5. And I have fellows in this program. There's people in this room that I sat in that Pathfinders with, you know, like 8 years ago. Like, that is intimacy, you know, like that endurance, like that longitude of recovery is what keeps me like sane and staying in my marriage. I started going to grad school last year. I'm in my second and final year of grad school. there's a part in the back of the book where it talks about like, well, what if you go to school and like, is your partner going to stay with you? Are you guys going to be able to make through it? This like open and closed system relationship. And I really was scared that like, we're not going to make it because I'm a sex and love addict. Thank you. I'm always finding people, you know. I had a lot of like gender role ideas of like, my husband wants me to be available. He wants me to be able to travel with him. Like, what's going to happen if I'm not available for that? And like, we just keep going through life. Another thing that happened, I got married in June of last year. And then a few months later, my husband got like a very severe infertility diagnosis. And we were told that my husband cannot have genetic children. And you know, it brought up so much grief just about being a parent, like my own experience of having parents that were doing their best. And then wanting to be a parent, but being so afraid of it. And then like basically being told like, you're not going to be able to be a parent in the way that you thought you were going to be a parent. And to have to walk through that with my husband and simultaneously like, you know, respect his privacy, but like talk things through, but then like vouch for myself and be like, I've got to share with people about what's going on. It's been so crazy. But like I learned how to do that in SLAA and I don't have to act out. And that's honestly my go-to. Like I was saying, like I felt like I was kind of the poster child and like I had figured it out. I'm not, you know, so self-righteous that like I would ever stop going to meetings. Like I know like I need to be here and I need my higher power. But I thought that I had overcome fantasy and intrigue. I thought I found my person, we're married, we're happy, we're on this road. But like for me, it is only a matter of time and like being distanced from the program before like I act out and I cheat on my husband and I blow up my marriage. Like that's who I am. And not in a shameful way, but like that's my coping strategy. That's what I know how to do. And it's just constant growth and like leveling up. And even though I know we're gonna get to be parents and it's just gonna, you know, look different, it's been a crazy experience for my sex and love addiction to be like, no, like you don't have this figured out. Like you need your higher power, you need your sponsor, you need meetings, because that stuff is everywhere. Even though I don't act out on my bottom lines, there's a lot of accessory stuff. I just had to delete social media because I wanted to look at my qualifier. When I was acting out in my addiction before I got sober in any of the programs, I got pregnant with my qualifier's child and I didn't keep it. And there's a lot of grief that comes up from that now, you know, and a lot of fantasy of like, what if I just would have like kept that and co-parented with my qualifier, which sounds horrible when you say it out loud, like, you know, but there's just so much grief that I have to like sit with and feel. And thank you for like holding space for that for me today. Because that's how I don't act out, you know? That's how I stay in my marriage and, like, I get to go home and I always feel like I'm so much nicer to my husband, like, after I go to a meeting, you know? I can, like, spend the day with him and, like, we're going to take the dogs. And that's what SLAA has afforded me is, like, the ability to stay as sane as I can and work through life. Because I wanted life to be the law of attraction. Like, I was going to figure out how to, like, manifest the shit out of life. And, you know, to be honest, like, that didn't work for me. Like, if someone else figured it out, like, great, teach me. But, like, for me, it's, like, radical acceptance of, like, I am not in control of life. I need my higher power to to help me stick with it and to like radically accept what is happening, because I never would have chosen for my dad to die the way he died. I never would have chosen to not be able to have my husband's biological or genetic children, but like that's what's happening. So like, thank you, I'm finished. Life on life's terms, radical acceptance, and just like being humble enough to be like, I don't got this. Like, I gotta keep coming back and like keep contact with my higher power. Because this is not gonna go away. And I'll finish with this. Like, I hate when people always say like, your disease is in the parking lot doing push-ups, but like it feels like that right now. It feels like the past 2 years, it's just like, hey, I've been outside and like I'm real strong right now. So thank you for letting me share.